Hello, welcome to LegendCast. My name is Brian Krogsgaard. I'm here with Josh Ulswich. Hey, Josh.
Mr. Brian, superstar podcaster. I can't keep up.
Can't you got keep everybody. Up. Got too much.
How do I even follow Mark Cuban, you know?
You don't have to follow Mark Cuban. You do you.
I'm just a fish.
I love you as you are, the same way that I actually love token sets, because you can go to ledgerstatus.com/sets, see simplified asset management using their battle-tested asset management tools and infrastructure to easily manage your crypto portfolios. If you want to holler at that DeFi Pulse Index because you listen to Mark Cuban get hyped on Ethereum and DeFi and you don't know what to invest in, DPI is just like a broad spectrum of DeFi assets. Or there are other managed portfolios on their platform. It's a great way to be more passive and simplify your portfolio while maintaining a powerful allocation into the emerging crypto asset space. Thanks so much to TokenSets for being a partner of LedgerCast. Big fans of them. They've got some updates for Tulip, which is my own token set that I do with them. And soon the logo and the description and all that stuff will be right on there. They even have buy or sell functionality built into it now so that you don't have to like do the issuance and all that stuff in there. So it's pretty cool. So that's that. That's token sets. Josh, you have like 75 things on your screen right now. So what in the heck are you looking at in this crypto market?
I mean, there's just so much to talk about. I want to start with somebody mentioned in the chat about your dad and TA and learning it as a young age. You know, that reminds me. In high school, I was in the stock club, and I kind of wish I took it more seriously now because we didn't really learn much about anything that I can recall. But man, how valuable that would be. I think with the GME and AMC and like the meme stock stuff going on, I think the younger generation this go round is going to be attracted to TA type stuff more so than maybe anybody else ever has been, you know?
Yeah. So I talked to my dad this morning, saw my dad in person. We were hanging out and I showed him this Ethereum chart and I said, "You telling me this isn't going to $4,000? And he's like, "Yeah, looks pretty freaking good. Should I dump gold for it?" So my dad's like ready to sell his gold allocation to holler at the Ethereum pump because, you know, this is just straightforward. I was like, "Dad, here was the 2017 all-time high, 1390, something like that. It broke out, retested, consolidated, bam, bam. Now what? You just look at this and it's like, that's a nice trade. That's a wide stop. That's a 30% stop. But the point is the breakout point and the direction that this can go. Ethereum's going to 4K, Josh. 33 by July.
Yeah, we'll talk about targets in a second. But the previous all-time high to December 18 low gives a pretty easy target of 22 to 27. That's always a good starting point when you're looking for stuff to
what was that target?
So the previous all-time high in Jan 2018 to mm-hmm. Not all-time low, the local low in December 2018. That FIB extension points to 2200 to 2700. So that's always a really good place to start when you're looking for targets. And then like you like to do, you like to add like the 2618
extension, yeah, 3618. Right? Like run the FIBs.
We see this a lot. ETH especially has done this in the past where it just goes to like some crazy FIB extension. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm saying like that's what's going to happen here necessarily, but just keep in mind like that using prior, you know, using the left side of the chart to predict the right side of the chart is very useful.
TA is pretty much.
Yeah. When you're just like, you know, not sure what to do or take profit levels, right? Like you could just set 10% of your ETH stack at every 618 FIB on the way up and just forget about it, right? Like that's one way to do it, mm-hmm. certainly. If we're looking at the MA multiplier, which is, I feel like I talk about so much stuff so often that hopefully everybody knows what all this stuff is. But in this case, it's the 365 MA, which is the green line here.
One year average price.
Right. 1 year average price for those of you on the stream or on the YouTubes. And the multiplier is 5x that, the red line up here. Based on backtesting, it's caught the bottoms pretty well. It's caught the tops very well. And currently the top is around 3333 for ETH USD. So
look anything, how far that broke out on the bottom side of the bear market. Like, so brutal.
Down here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was saying in a video that, you know, ideally with backtesting, you want to see it snipe the tops and bottoms. This is obviously painful, but the way you can trade this is just keep buying. You know, this is where you DCA, right?
Right.
So this gives you plenty of time to DCA. And you could DCA in the green and then DCA out in the red. Ideally, you have enough time to get out up there. So right now, the getting out place is 3333. Anything above that is asking to be sold down for sure. So yeah, it looks good for up though. I mean, there's no question. If we can look at ascending triangle stuff. I have it up somewhere. I'll find it in a sec. But this all was forming some sort of ascending triangle. It was tons and tons of chart patterns, all of which targets got hit. We can talk about the cloud on the 4 hour ETH.
Amazingly. But you're bullish on ETH right this moment, aren't you?
Yeah. Okay. There's no reason not to be. I'm just saying, like,
so you're just saying from a continuation perspective, like it just keeps hitting targets and then consolidating and going up and hitting targets.
Right. If there's ever a time to learn how to trade TA and learn what to do and like how to react, like look at the 4 hour ETH chart, look at it on trend metrics, look at it on chart patterns. You know, it's all super clean, very straightforward, you know, not wishy-washy as far as what to do and when, where targets should be, that sort of thing.
This is the only one I need, you know, like long consolidation, subtle move up, shorter consolidation, big move up, shorter consolidation, weak move up, longer consolidation, impulse up. That's what I want. I'm just drawing the chart that I want, but it's to me, it's a pretty clear consolidation. This is the first one where it's not like catching up to old highs. It's finding out what are the new highs. It seems like a relatively good trade to me. At the same time, ETH BTC, grind, 3 day impulse up, three little white soldiers, if you want to call it that. Is that still a thing that we do? The weekly starts to shape up ETH BTC. This feels like it could be the ETH move. Times with all the Q2 stuff that you've talked about over and over again on this show. But we're going to assume we have new listeners, Josh, because whenever, you know, there's a hype in the market, we tend to get new listeners. So why don't you talk about the seasonality a little bit?
Yeah, I'll definitely get to that. If you measure this out as an ascending triangle or something, even if you measure it out, I was talking about Harmonix.
Go into Harmonix already.
You can do this because it actually looks decent. Where is it? Where's the 1618? Somewhere up here. Yeah. I'm looking at this specifically, but even the Harmonix is like, yeah, we're going to 25. So, you know,
it's almost like one of us had a $2,500 target.
I mean, there's a reason that was the part of the bet.
Yeah.
But, there's a pivot up there. So there's tons and tons of reasons why once we do break out significantly, 25 is definitely the level.
Chat says this is Josh's bat signal.
Yeah, it does. It's not a bat. It's a, what is it? It's a crab, yeah, or something.
There is actually another one called a bearish bat or something, yeah, like that, or a bullish, yeah, bat.
Yeah, so I did win the bet. Should we talk about that? We'll talk about seasonality. Yeah.
Let's close off the bet. So Josh and I made a bet. I think we made it in February. And I was saying ETH was going to go to 2,500 by the end of March. And naturally, I'm early. And so I've lost the bet. I owe Josh a steak dinner in D.C., I guess. So you're licking your chops. You're hunting places where we're going to go.
Yeah, I have a few in mind, depending on if they're open or not. But yeah, for sure.
So we're going to eat some steak, and while we're eating steak, ETH will be like $3,000 or $4,000 because I was not wrong. I just jumped the gun a little bit.
So yeah, that's fair.
Live stream the dinner. Maybe we'll do some, like, what are those things called? Those Twitter stories.
I was going to try to invite some other people too.
We'll do some fleet steak.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
We'll get Niraj to come.
We'll
get Dez to come. Get some folks in there. It'll be fun, but I'm only paying for your freaking dinner. Niraj can pay for Allison's dinner.
Yeah, sure. That's fine.
Allison will come. We got to get them together. They're meant to be. It's like the two greatest, Twitter posters at the moment, Niraj and Allison, and they live in the same town. Clearly attracted to one another.
I don't know if they've ever met physically. in person. In person.
Very intimate.
No, just in person, you know?
Yeah.
Trend metrics on the ETH daily cloud look great. I see people mentioning cloud in the chat. You can't deny it. You know, I was super concerned maybe mid-March for this breakdown, and it just didn't happen. So, you got to follow the chart. I can set myself up for all sorts of stuff. And even if today we fail this ascending triangle, we're still setting up for a 17 to 13K short possibility. You know, that's not there. Right. If it breaks down, like, I'm taking that trade, right? I'm not expecting that, but that's a possibility, sure. But yeah, this looks, the fact that the TK lines came back together, it tapped the cloud, like, all this looks really good for massive continuation at this point. So it's if you're bullish on, if you're bearish on ETH, I think you're on the wrong side of that trade.
Yeah, everything points to that. I mean, there's no guarantees in these markets, but like, you live and die by the probabilities that are presented to you. And right now, both the technical and the fundamental align pretty well for continuation in Ethereum. On the relative pair, it looks good. Bitcoin itself at least looks healthy, which is good. Bitcoin's been kind of interesting because it's just kind of dancing around all-time highs. It's made both like lower highs and higher highs, but it's not. It's just kind of goofy. And it seems like Bitcoin may continue to do this and give altcoins some run. There's a Bitcoin dominance chart somewhere. I don't know where mine is, but the Bitcoin dominance chart looks like Bitcoin may be breaking down on dominance. It consolidated around 60 and has now a couple of days of pretty significant down moves that very much interest me. To counter that, if you're going to TA it, there's a 200-week moving average, which would make this look like a big fake out. But I actually do think alts are going to be pretty strong here, so I think this is going to fail. And that would indicate potential for a massive altcoin move. Really make Bitcoin maximalists mad, have the Q2 altcoin summer, whatever, and then bleed out after that. But yeah, lose like 10 points on dominance, something like that. That's kind of what I'd be interested in. You have a quarterly chart for Ethereum and dominance, don't you?
Yeah, what did ETHBTC close at? I haven't updated these yet.
On the daily, 0.03.
On the quarter. I have to check it, but
find out.
Yeah, so if we look at seasonality, it's like an almanac, you know? Like, you're looking at what happened the past whatever years.
0.03257.
No, what was the percent change, you silly goose?
Oh, the percent change on the quarter.
Yes, but if you're looking at seasonality, you care about what happened.
It was plus 28% on ETHBTC.
Okay. That's it? Really?
That's the ETHBTC pair.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, seasonality. Yeah. Almanac. What happened the past 10 years? We have an unusually bullish March that is reminiscent of 2013, even. Not even 2016, but 2013.
And crypto went up a lot in 2013.
Yeah, well, this is the second most bullish March probably ever at this point, based on, if you're excluding 2010 or whatever that was. Mm-hmm. Completely, it's a bit of an anomaly, really, honestly. We've had six bullish months in a row. That doesn't happen too often. All of this is just very, very unusual situation. So that's good, but it makes me worried that the Q2 seasonality. You know, just looking at this April, May, June historically has been mega bullish for everything. I'm just slightly concerned that we won't follow through with that because we've been so bullish for the past 6 months, you know?
That it would just hard to just number go straight up forever.
Yeah, for sure. And ETH has been bullish for 5 straight quarters, right?
Maybe.
Yeah. So I don't know. You know, there's not enough data to really like take any of this seriously, to be honest, but
yeah.
But I'm looking at
all right, ETH. So that's the like graph version and here's the chart version of that. So it's like, I mean, it looks similar to the 2017 move, except for it looks like it. I mean, there's nothing that says this can't go to 4 or 5K on that quarterly chart. Like, it looks like it made a new high and have a couple months up, but it's such a new asset. If you put this, take this out of log, it's probably hilarious. Yeah, it's a little obscene. Yeah,
it's gross.
To be fair, though,
like, just zooming way out and thinking, like, where ETH has been and what ETH has done. It's for ETH, it's a new paradigm. It's new frontier when you're talking about like full blocks and DeFi and all this other crap that's just continuous. And we can look at the on-chain data too, but it's completely different than what's ever happened for ETH. I mean, this is, I'm no giant fan of ETH, but you can't deny what's going on with ETH right now. So maybe that's enough to keep this shark moving. I don't know. But Q2, just looking at it for ETH, again, you can't be bearish Q2 because it's never closed negative. Let me reiterate that. It's never been a negative quarter for ETH in Q2. Historically, never. It's never happened. So you're betting against the massive trend there. BTC as well, it's never been more than a negative 6% quarter, which is insane to think about. But ETH's BTC's best quarters are Q2, Q4. So again, it's hard to be bearish Q2. You just can't, right?
I will not. I shall be bullish.
Like if you're shorting for the next 3 months at any point, you better be mega convicted that that's going to play out. And if we look at ETH BTC, again, Q1, Q2 is where it's at as far as performance-wise. Historically, though, it really hasn't done super well, you know, relative to BTC over time.
Yeah, well, ETH BTC tends to be like very bullish in spurts, you know.
Right, like this week has been enormous. One other thing I'll say about ETH seasonality is that Q4 for ETH BTC has never been positive. Never been positive.
Yeah, so. You know, I was talked to you about this. I've talked to friends and family about this. I think the seasonality in crypto is extraordinarily important. I've really come on board to, you know, the fact that you like to talk about this all the time. And you look at Q4, it's a very natural thing. It's a growth asset class. People tend to make money throughout the year, and then they tend to take money off the table towards the end of the year to pay taxes, to take profit, whatever their justification. It makes sense to take money off the table at the end of the year. And I think we'll see it again. I don't know if it'll be the end of the bull market. I think it may be the end of the bull market based on the speed of this bull market. But I think we'll again see Q4 weakness in December, latter half of 2017, something like that.
Well, BTC is fine in Q4. ETH isn't, but this is just ETH BTC performance, you know.
Yeah, but like people who've made a bunch of money on alts, whether they were like roll it back into Bitcoin or whatever, I just think that people who've made a lot of money this year will be having to take it off the table to pay taxes and do other things. And I just think that that's going to have an impact on the end of the year. That's my thesis. Similar to this is also what informed me and going into January was like, I think people are waiting because they were, you know, had Bitcoin that went from 5K in March, but then broke out from 10K, went to 30K. Don't want to move that until January. And I was like, I think people will play the rotation. The greed will kick in. They'll move their Bitcoin to altcoins for January. And everything went like nuts in January. And I think it was directly related to the tax implications of rolling those assets over. And I think we'll see the opposite occur at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's funny how that lines up with the calendar. And, you know, it, I agree. It's too much to ignore that there's a correlation there.
Yeah.
Because you're right. Like, January was insane. February was insane.
And it was people with risk, increasing their risk tolerance. And some people need convincing, like Josh Olswich.
Wow. Wow. I talked about this last week, I think, on the ETH BTC cloud, maybe.
Yeah. You were like, it has to bounce now.
I don't know if I said it has to bounce now, but I was mainly talking about bullish into mid-2021 based on the cloud. So how this works is if it's out of the cloud, if it's above the cloud, it's bullish. That's when I expect it to actually do something against BTC. I mean, all of this, we can all be bullish and happy and fat and whatever, but if you zoom out and look at this, ETH BTC has done nothing since mid-2018, right? Like, let's be real here.
It's like just a random walk inside the cloud. That's what that told you the whole time anyway.
Right, and it's just been sideways. So I put a pitchfork on this because it makes sense. There's a channel here, it's pretty clear, and it's got denied at the median line twice, three times, four times. That's pretty clear to me. I like the mean reversion potential up in here. So, you know, I like 05 by end of year, basically, mm-hmm. which to some people is going to sound
bearish,
you know, super bearish. But like ETH is in price discovery right here today, and BTC is still struggling at 60K. So when BTC breaks 60K, this ETH BTC ratio, just logically to me, is probably going to get crushed, right? Like,
this is how ETH BTC will moon, because ETH is going to go to 4K and Bitcoin's going to be at like under 66.
I mean, we can say we want that, or you can say you want that, and that's fine. But the reality is, like, the way this stuff ping pongs back and forth, like, there's always a catch up trade, whether it's ETH catching up to BTC or BTC catching up to ETH. And you're seeing that on the dominant, or not the dominance, the ETH BTC chart, right? Like, mm-hmm. there's no general strength for ETH here versus BTC, because they just
ping pong. It is an uptrend since the bull market started. At least it's just subtle.
I mean, there is a line that points up. I'll give you that.
That's sure. called an uptrend.
Sure.
It's just the lower end of your pitchfork. No, and you know, Isotope in the chat says, so is everything. I'm talking about ETH relative to Bitcoin. If you outperform Bitcoin, you're doing real well. Like, just in general, you're doing real well when you outperform Bitcoin.
Yes. My point is, ETH is unlikely to go to 4K alone. That's my point. There will be a catch-up trade once BTC uncucks itself and breaks 60K.
Okay. ETH is going to go first.
Is it time for another bet, Brian? Like, what is, I mean,
we got to move the ratio. We move the bet to.
We're not ETH moving BTC. The bet. I'm locking in that no, bet.
I know, but saying, it can be about ETH BTC, not ETH USD even. 0.055. We're going to hit it.
I'm fine with 0.05 by the end of the year. 0.1 is going to be, I don't think it's going to happen this year, personally.
I'm not trying to call for 0.1 necessarily.
All right, well. Anyway,
I have 0.1 on the chart, but that's not really my target. 0.084 is my, like, that's my euphoria target.
0.084?
Uh-huh. It's a prior high.
Okay.
So, I don't know what the bet is, but
no, there's
I think bet. I think ETH BTC is going to move faster. Stakes for the whole fam. That's what Meteor says.
I like 05 by the end of the year. That's about as generous as I can get. It's like 60 with Link by the end of the year. I can't get more bullish than that on this stuff.
Yeah. As a note, this is on Binance, which is where you should see a lot of your ETH BTC speculation anyway. Volume is not kicked in on this breakout. So, like, there's no confirmation yet. My thing is, once it happens, 0.05 will not be the end of the year. It will be the end of the month. It will be fast. The move will be quick. And it's like all of a sudden, you know, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit uptrend since the start of 2020. And then just like, bam, off you go. That's okay. My thought.
I mean, Josh, I believe it when I see it.
Josh, two stakes also.
I'll believe it when I see it. Talking about BTC again for a sec. Pitchfork someone asked about a pitchfork lesson. The thing is, pick 3 points. You know, even if you're just looking at a chart blind, is there a channel?
A pitchfork is just a channel with an anchor.
With the rules, really. But yes. First step, is there a channel? Second step, can you find 3 points that match that channel? And that's it. That's the lesson. But yeah, BTC is at the top of its range. You know, I like 100K by the end of the year for BTC. Just like, you know, all these targets are might sound conservative, but I think they're high probability as far as where we're going. That's not saying we won't go to 250. You know, how amazing would it be if ETH is stuck at 4K while we go to 250 on BTC, right? Is that in your decision tree as far as what could happen?
Sure, it could happen.
You sound just as excited as I did on your ETH targets. So yeah, you know, I like the R5
is if ETH went to like 10K and Bitcoin was under 100.
I think I had a dream where ETH was like, you know, it's funny that so ETH could go to 20K if you think about where ETH is versus where BTC was in 2016, 2017. It's basically the same chart, right? Like in the same price, you know. Mm-hmm. So this could 10x, right? Like BTC 10x on different circumstances, different.
I mean, I've heard a lot of people say they think ETH is going to, like, Raul Paul has talked about this. Like, he thinks ETH in this market cycle is following the Bitcoin moves of the prior market cycle.
Yeah, I think that's super fair and accurate. Yeah, there's problems with the ETH supply, as people are saying in chat. I get it, right? Like, I get the issues with ETH and all that stuff. But
wait, why are we saying that's a problem with the ETH supply? Do you not 1559 Legolos?
Yeah, when that's here and that's happening, I'll believe it when I see it, just like anything with ETH.
It's here and it's happening, and ETH is
sound
money.
Is it July? When my calendar says April. It's weird. It's so weird. My calendar still says April.
Look, 1559 is the ETH equivalent of the halving, except it's permanent in that it's not then a plateau for 4 years. It will just continue to be deflationary because the people use the ETH network. 1559 burns fees every block, and ETH will be burned consistently.
We hope that's what happens. Growth
of the network, so that net issuance is probably going to be flat or even deflationary, making Ethereum even more scarce than Bitcoin in terms of how new issuance works. So that's just what I'm saying. This is a non-zero, not, I would even call it a likely outcome.
All I will say is, historically, the ETH devs have implemented several unintended consequences. This possibility is no different, you know? So I'm happy to incorporate new information when it arises, but currently, that isn't here yet. So yes, you can speculate on the bullishness of ETH past 1559.
Yeah, like imagine speculating.
No, I'm just saying, you know, we don't know the unknown, blah blah blah. Like, I'm not trying to FUD ETH here. I'm just saying it all sounds like it's going to be the best, next best thing since sliced bread until it's here, and then some magic F up happens and it's like, oh, you know, we didn't see that happening. Oh, dude, don't get me started on Hasu, please.
Hasu of uncommoncore.com.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm done.
He says it is not priced in, and I believe.
This is me walking out of the pod at this point. Hasu tried to get us to reorg the Bitcoin blockchain, please. What he has to say has no bearing on anything I do. Sorry, Hasu.
Love you, Hasu.
I don't know about that, but
this is a house divided.
Oh, for sure. let's talk about more TA real quick. Two-year MA multiplier for BTC upside is 72 right now. So historically, once we get above the multiplier, we have 3 or 4 good weeks of insanity. So right now, the insanity target is 72 plus. And ETH is farther away from its upside target than BTC. That's also worth noting. It's also worth noting that when BTC breaks this target, it has more of an upside than ETH has in the past. Not a lot of data points there, but something to consider. 200-week moving average heat map. or the speed at which the 200 a week has moved up is getting hotter, but it's not crazy. Visually, it's we've got more upside here in BTC.
So I think it's April something, 2nd.
I thought it was July.
Yeah. Relative to the prior market cycle, it feels a lot like it felt in maybe June or July back then.
2017?
Yeah. Like retail's getting pretty excited. Like people are getting quite involved. I mean, I've talked to my neighbors and my friends and my family about crypto. Like that was also the case midway through then. And you look at the chart and it's basically saying the same thing, right? When did the 200-week moving average heat map turn that bright green last time? On that 2017 one.
October.
No, that was like when it turned red. Like when did it?
July.
Yeah. So I feel like sentiment-wise, it seems like it agrees with essentially this heat map. And this is one of my favorites of yours because, as you know, I'm a 200 period moving average maximalist. So like the distance from the 200 is an excellent indicator because for me, the bear market bottom also should be the 200 week in a growing asset class. I feel like we are hot. We are, but we're not burning, you know, like
that's fair.
So the NBA Jam equivalent of he's heating up.
Okay. It looks good, right? Like you can't deny that on and the 200 week. This is all from lookintobitcoin.com, by the way. Stock to flow looks fine. You know, it is what it is, right? Like the best meme that's ever played out. I think the biggest issue I have with the stock to flow thing is that the people are so like maniacally following this, like the Plan B guy, you know, gotta love him, but there's other stuff out there anyway. So yeah, stock to flow looks fine. You know, it's hot, it's heating up, whatever. The projected targets are like 80 plus end of year, 80, 90, something like that. So that looks good. I had a ton of people reach out to me about Pi Cycle Top, which...
I've had DMs of this thing, like, crossing. Like, people are just, like, you know, double eyeball emoji with the Pi Cycle Top talking to me about it. What's the situation? Has it crossed?
So it's the MA multiplier, the 1 year MA, two times, I don't even know how to say this, 2 times the 1 year MA with the 111 MA. That's the cross that this specific indicator is. Historically, it's been really good at picking the top within 3 days. At this point in time, it is $400 away from touching, crossing. So it is, it's concerning, certainly. When you're looking at...
Super Yizzy, I hope you're talking about the Pi Cycle Top when you give the NBA Jam reference of Boom Shakalaka. Like, is the Pi Cycle Top crossover, is that the Boom Shakalaka moment?
So there's 3 points on backtesting that have historically worked, right? This could be something that breaks that cycle. I don't know. Like, I'm looking at it, right? Like, if this is a data point to look at, to take into consideration. Now, is everything else screaming? No. So... even if this crosses, I'm not super concerned. It says we're getting close, right? But I don't think we're, you know, if all this stuff was screaming, then you'd say, okay, right? I'm pretty convinced. But at this point, I'm ready to just take in all the data, see what it says. Yeah. Puel multiple, which is just basically notional coin issuance divided by the notional coin issuance of the past year, is getting hotter again, but it's not quite towards the danger zone of overbought. Again, backtesting is pretty accurate with that. MVRV, which is just on-chain churn, basically, versus market cap, getting hotter, cooled down a little bit, but getting close again. So all this stuff looks like we have plenty of room to me based on backtesting. And then I'll just say about the UTXOs, this is the selling metric. Somebody in the chat was saying everybody's buying, nobody's selling. And the UTXOs...
What is a UTXO for our new listeners?
Kind of support that. So UTXO measures when coins have last moved. It gives them a date. So because it's a blockchain and a ledger that's public, you can see, you know, when was the last time X percentage of the chain has moved versus yesterday versus 2 weeks ago. Historically, near the all-time highs, basically 51% or 50% of the chain moved in the past 6 months. So currently in the past 6 months, we've had less than 40% of the chain move. Once that approaches 50%, it's probably, and that's the top. That's probably it, because that represents people who are
the nail selling in the coffin. My NBA chain reference. I'm done. Okay.
Represents people unhodling, right? Like, this is days destroyed, you know, whatever you want to think about this as. So this is another really good metric. And again, this says we have upside based on previous all-time highs.
Yeah.
So yeah, things look good from that front. We can talk about exchange reserves.
Still going way down. Like, this is insane. Like, liquidity crisis people, I've been kind of, you know, disregarding. But, I mean, it's pretty severe. There's a lot of coins leaving exchanges.
Yeah, and I kind of valued this chart on BTC more than ETH, because with the ETH, you can, like, do stuff on DeFi with it, right? ETH also is declining significantly. But this is just centralized exchanges, so I don't know. Like, this looks insanely bullish, right?
It looks insanely bullish. Like, the type of thing that you just absolutely freak out over from a fundamental perspective.
Yeah, but again, this is only measuring centralized exchanges as far as I know. So yeah, I don't know. Like, I want to say there's a massive bull div here and trade it as such. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this 2 million ETH could just be getting yield somewhere else. Now, it doesn't mean it's being sold, but I don't think it's as bullish, just because you can't really do as much with BTC, right? You can do wrapped BTC on ETH. I think there's a chart here that I can pull that up as well, but
can't do as much with BTC.
We can't yield farm it, right? You can't AMM it.
Pull it over to DeFi.
Right.
I think DeFi is making a pretty big rotation right now, like trying to turn the corner. Synthetics and several other things that basically topped Valentine's Day right around the middle of February have been in downtrend or consolidation ever since. And like, we're seeing synthetics move up. We're seeing Aave start to move up. Uni continued to be hyped because of 3.0. So like, it's not as good. Sushi continued to be hyped, so it's not as good, but even those like starting to roll a little bit. But a bunch of stuff that kind of hit the brakes as DeFi was just peak FOMO in mid-February has really started to turn up and get interesting again. And I feel like all these decent DeFi projects are ready to make a new run.
Check out Maker. I think people are sleeping on Maker. Somebody a few months ago told me that they think Maker's is the most undervalued asset right now.
That is FUD against ZRX.
They're completely different things. One's a stablecoin governance token. One's a DEX governance token.
I mean, this looked pretty good at 2150 or so. Where can you even trade Maker?
You can actually buy it on Coinbase. I bought.
So they just list
a bunch.
List any kind of security these days.
this was like several months ago, but they switched their consideration and their opinion on Maker from a security to a whatever. That was their justification for listing it.
Convenient.
It was that association. I'm never gonna remember the name, but anyway, yeah.
So from that value perspective, that continues to be why I'm bullish ZRX. All-time high, January 15th, 2018, $1.95 close. It's going to get a weekly close over that, and I think it's going to go into price discovery. And also from a relative valuation perspective, that's what I want to look at. That's why I'm very bullish on ZRX. Whether you want to apply that same type of thing to Maker or whatever else, that's good. I do think there's some relative value plays out there.
Well, so people who don't know, just like BNB and soon to be ETH, hopefully, ideally, asterisk, it has a burn mechanic. So that's part of why what you're seeing on that price appreciation with Maker and BNB, and I'm sure BNB is mooning because centralized exchange tokens are doing really well. You can go to this website, makerburn.com, and just see like the supply burn over time. Not that I'm shilling my bags or anything. I'm just letting people know, for people who didn't know, yeah, there is a burn mechanic there.
Somebody asked about Curve. That's another one that, like, I think some of these have really nice looking charts. So it's combination, right? It's what do I think might be undervalued and has a nice looking chart. Curve definitely fits that territory for me. Looks like it wants price discovery versus the dollar, and it looks like it's turning the corner versus Bitcoin. Like, this is one of, I think I talked about this recently. This is one of my favorite setups in, it doesn't, I don't care what asset class it is. This right here. Okay. 200-day moving average, 20-day moving average, crossover, price over both, consolidation as a macro trend starts to reverse. This is the type of chart that I freaking love. So I have a bag. That's like, I love that. And then you combine it with the USD relative chart that says, you know, new high price discovery. This is the type of thing where I think from an upside perspective, it could be severe, like $10. Like Curve 330, 340, whatever it is now. When it moves up, I think it can go to $10, because when I combine that with what I see on the BTC relative pair, I think it can go back to where it was in the summer. What percentage move is that? That is... So you bought it right this moment. That is a 300% increase. So what's that, a 4X on your Bitcoin? So you put one Bitcoin in, you get four Bitcoin out. That's the trade setup that I think could exist. Now, that's very bullish. Like, that's relative to Bitcoin undoing all the bleeding that Curve did last fall. That's what I think can happen. I think this is a sign of a trend shift, and I like this chart. That's just what I'm saying. That's what I'm holding for. Am I stupid? Am I wrong? Maybe. That's the chart setup that I see, and I'm trying to trade the chart setup.
I think it's funny when the altcoin maximalists get angry and argue with the BTC maxis, because, you know, if you're bullish alts, what do you care what everyone else has to say, right? Like, yeah, if you're bullish alts, buy it, hold it, sell it at a higher price. Like, who gives a crap, right? You know, like, if you're bullish Curve, awesome, good for you. Like, it looks okay. I'm not
one way or the other. I'm just saying,
yeah, I'm not saying you, and I'm not just saying Curve. It's like,
right,
if you want to jump into every piece of trash that is ever listed on any exchange, go for it, buddy. You know, like, I just see these people getting mad at each other.
People get upset.
I don't understand.
There's no need to be upset, as Nomad says.
Right? It's, and like, who cares? Who cares?
I look at that Bitcoin relative chart, because if you're in one asset, it means you're not in the other. So if you're choosing to buy Curve and you like that Curve USD chart, I also want to see what's that BTC relative chart look like, because you're making a decision not to be in BTC when you do that.
I'm in complete agreement with you on the Curve chart. It looks great. So, I'm just saying, in general with alts, I don't understand the people getting angry.
Yeah.
Something else to mention with Curve, when you see repeated patterns, now none of this individually is anything that's necessarily like tradable or whatever, but you see series of accumulation type stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. That's what it looks like. It looks like accumulation. It looks really good. Now, it doesn't mean it absolutely plays out. I was wrong about Sushi when I thought that it was, you know, consolidating versus BTC. I had to sell it at the bottom of the pennant, because once it got to the bottom of the pennant again, I was like, I don't think it's going to hold. So I had to sell it. Now, maybe it's okay again. You know, maybe it found support. This 200-day moving average relative to BTC scares me. So this makes me a little less excited about, like, being in Sushi right this moment, because now it's just kind of a no man's land. But Curve's not. Curve has a setup. So that's why I play the setup. That's why I look at both pairs, yada, yada.
You said you like the 4X on Curve from here?
Yeah. What's the target?
What is it? Are you taking like 15, no, 20 something? Like way back up here?
Just, yeah, under that cluster that it was in the summer.
All right.
Yeah,
I'm not going to hold my breath, but...
The chat's asking me about Rook, saying that it's turning.
If you, you here's what you did. You spawned all these bag holders, all these community members, by talking about absolute trash.
I like talked Rook about it and, under 100. Okay, Josh.
Rook and
Joshua.
And whatever else you're talking about.
If I accumulate a bag here, I'm not going to feel bad about anything. It went from under 100 to $800. The problem is I didn't sell everything when it got listed on FTX. So I'm still in quite a nice profit, and now it's broken a new downtrend line. So my thing is maybe, you know, this is a repeat and it has a chance to mark up, go to the previous highs, yada yada. It's another trade idea. That's all I'm saying. I don't dislike it here. It looks like it double bottomed. It crossed the local moving averages. I didn't talk about Rook in the live show unless people asked me in the post show. The whole time it was going down, I didn't talk about it because I don't want to shill it to people. Now it's turned up a bit, so whatever. Now the chat's telling me I'm cursing it, so sorry. I'm just saying, I don't think I no longer think like Rook is as risky of a buy, is basically all I'm saying.
Okay. That's all I got to say about that.
That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah. I said this in a video earlier. EOS. I said this in a video earlier this week for BNC. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's almost at 10K followers. But there's a W double bottom on basically every single BTC pair. That's like garbage trash projects like EOS. So I expect
that's concerning.
I expect this to do really well. You know, Dominance is already saying, you know, you talked about that already, that BTC is losing against these alt pairs. And the TA is there for up, right? Like, you can't deny that. Multi-month bull div with the W double bottom, past all-time lows. You know, like, what other setup do you want? Just even like, Tezos looks like, decent.
Just like your Litecoin.
Just like my Litecoin, right? Tezos.
This all goes back to that Dominance chart. Like, all of this stuff is implying that it's exhausted and just wants to, you know, move Dominance down, increase greed. All the signs of the market is heating up type of narrative in BAJM corollary.
I saw Crypto Jack has been talking about Neo and OMG projects that I think are absolute absolute bottom of the barrel.
The OMG chart looks really good though.
they're moving up, you know, like you might hate the project, but you can't hate the chart, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can. This is even why Coffeyin, which is probably why he was zeroed in on it for a while.
Yeah, this, I mean, this. I had this line. Look at this starting line on Bitfinex or OMG BTC.
It's like back to zero, you know? Like, yeah. it can pump again. It can pump to infinity because it went all the way to zero.
But the USD chart, like, I mean, that looks quite good. New highs, new weekly highs. Off you go. Can it go to $25? Sure. Why not?
And it's also worth noting that seasonality-wise, Q2 is the best season or the best time for alt season historically.
Q2 2017 was literally insane, and I was like just getting my feet wet in crypto, so I didn't get to take advantage of the like see a coin move from 15 sats to 150 and stuff like that. By the way, which it'll do, we need to talk about Filecoin today, because I told people the other day if I owned any Filecoin, which there's zero chance I would have, then I would be selling it all. lo and behold, that was the Pico top. When I said that,
well, it's worth saying, like, with any VC coin, even HBAR, which is doing extremely well recently.
Yeah,
you could be super bearish on the fundamentals of stuff like HBAR, which is just a VC dump, permanent, like monthly VC dumping ground.
They literally none of these people, the people that own Filecoin and HBAR and some of these others, they are just like salivating as their coins unlock to dump on you. So you are permanent distribution for these VC coins. People bought Filecoin at like $2 in a presale or $1 in a presale. What do you think they want to do when they're at a 200x of their investment? That this is financial advice. Don't buy Filecoin. Sue me.
I feel the same way about Dot, and it, you know, that's why it's so tough. It's easier to buy Curve for me against BTC than Dot, because I know Curve is like been distributed, right? Like, I feel like with all these other projects like Dot and Filecoin and HBAR, it's just a continuous nonstop distribution.
I have no interest in buying these for like 4 years. And if they're still alive, if they found product market fit, if they're not empty cathedrals of trash, then maybe they'll be an interesting trade setup along the lines. All I want to do now is wait until the short squeeze is over. And if anything, I may consider a large on-chain short slash meme. Like, it's all just, I mean, the fully diluted market cap of Filecoin is like $500 billion or something.
Yeah, it's...
That's not even an exaggeration. That's literally what the fully diluted market cap is. A friend of mine, after my Filecoin tweet, was like, oh yeah, maybe I should actually go look at selling some. It turned out they had 15% of their Filecoin that was liquid, and they sold it. They just were like, that's amazing. I just 100x'd, and they sold the top, got rid of 15% of their bag. Now the rest is riding free. But guess what? They're going to continue to sell it anytime it unlocks, because that is a win that anyone in the world is going to like happily take advantage of. They'll be very pleased with themselves. Josh is pulling up the 50-year market cap or whatever right now. It's absurd. It's stupid. Don't buy a VC's like 200x. The upside does not exist on a project like that. If you are seeking upside, a VC's 200x is not the place to do it. A VC's 20x might be. Like, it's a difficult conversation, you know? But like, you get to a point where there's zero chance that Filecoin is worth $500 billion. There's no way that it's worth that. It's impossible.
It's funny that Dot has half the fully diluted market cap of BTC. Oh, man. I can't even... Is Filecoin not even on here? Oh, it is, but they're not listed as the fully diluted. It doesn't show. Yeah.
Masari probably has bags.
What, wow.
That's
unknown. Yeah, Uni's up there. Adam is up there.
The market cap of Dropbox is $11.4 billion. Okay? But the fully diluted market cap of... freaking Filecoin. I'm going to look it up on CoinGecko. What do they say about it?
World just file. Like the Shopify. What is the fully diluted Shopify market
cap? Why does everybody talk about Shopify with me?
I don't know. It's a fun word to say.
What did they do? Like take it off or something?
Yeah, I went to CoinGecko first, but I didn't see it there.
Oh, so. There it is. It's up in the top. Yeah, it's down now to $337 billion. $337 billion versus $12 billion. Let's round it to $12
billion. So $337 is the third largest fully diluted market cap in existence.
Is Filecoin worth 28 Dropboxes?
More than
that's
Ethereum.
That's the question. That's is Filecoin worth 28 Dropboxes? Because that's what the valuations would tell you today.
The I only got the connection with the storage thing.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
What is the storage fully diluted market cap? $1.3 billion.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, that's not where you seek upside. That is not where you seek upside. You don't do it in the top five fully diluted market cap coins.
Even XRP, like, sadly,
is a scam.
It's a scam, but it's basing, right? Like if I showed you this chart and didn't tell you what it was, you know,
but listen, there's some stuff I just don't want a piece of.
See, that's how I feel with most alts, right? Like you and to bring up Rook or whatever again, I feel the same way, you know,
but it's in the DeFi landscape.
I understand that. I'm just saying, like, that's the sentiment of any BTC maxi or any maxi of anything else, yeah, right? Like,
sure, but that's a narrative component that XRP does not have and will never have again. So, can it move? Yes. Does anyone believe in that move? Absolutely not. Know what I mean?
Yeah. It's not something I'm going to be trading. I'll say it like that, but, you know.
All right, so here's my hypothetical. we talked about these scenarios as if Bitcoin goes up, ETH goes up, everything goes up, yada, yada, up only.
Up only.
What if Bitcoin fails here, breaks down, stocks go to crap, dollar keeps going up, yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, we haven't talked about the Dixie yet. That's the craziest thing. The Dixie's up, VIX is down, crypto's up, gold is down, right? Like, what's going on?
I don't know. But let's just say Bitcoin dumps. Can alts still win relative to Bitcoin in your mind? Or, like, are you going to be bullish on the ratios no matter what? Or would you be scared?
No, alts don't have a mind of their own. The only reason alts are doing well now is because BTC is sideways. The moment BTC breaks out, you know, it's game over for the BTC pairs. You can look at dominance all we want until we're blue in the face and say, you know, this is alt season.
So 61, 62K for BTC, you'd be worried, and 54, 55K for BTC, you'd be worried for alts. So you're basically giving them a pretty narrow window.
There's no honor among thieves, and that's the same with altcoin traders. The moment they see BTC moving, you know, they're going to head for the exits, right? And that's fair. That's common sense, you know?
Yeah.
I was just looking at Dixie again, but...
That's fine. I feel like the Dixie move is a little overdone now.
Yeah. Markets are closed today, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, VIX is just, you know, we're getting shots in arms, right? Even if you're an anti-vaxxer, it's your duty to get a vaccine to bring the VIX down, you know?
To bring the VIX down. I was like, wow, where'd you go with this?
It is your duty as a citizen of the market, as a free marketer of this world. It is libertarian of you to get a freaking vaccine.
And with that, we can probably call it a day. All right. Josh, what do you want the people to know?
Subscribe to the BNC YouTube. Check out Enzyme, a competitor of Token Sets. You know, I just have to lay it down real, right? I'm on Enzyme. You're on Token Sets. They're a sponsor. Check us out on Enzyme. Check out my YouTube videos, which I've done. None of them. My personal channel, Twitter, follow us on Shopify, Spotify. I don't know.
This is why I should shill your stuff.
I'm terrible.
Follow Carpe Noctum on Twitter. Follow Carpe Noctum on YouTube. His BNC videos are very good. He has a competing fund to Tulip. We'll see who does what. Thanks to our partner at Token Sets. Go to ledgersatus.com/sets. Check out the available sets today. You can even check out Tulip while you're there. If you look that up, that's one that I personally manage and enjoy doing. It's fun to discover. Thanks for being with us. You know what we would really enjoy is if you could give us a rating and a review on iTunes. If you enjoy this, it helps all these new folks coming in for the late market find us.
Monuments crumble.
We'll see you for the after show.
In the blink of-